We're up to page 110 in the Ein Yaakov's Nun Heyom and Beis. In the Gemara, it would be Daf Chavches, but in the pages of the Ein Yaakov, it's Nun Heyom and Beis. It says 110 on the top right corner. We're up to the fourth line, and we've been discussing the advice that Rabbi Eliezer gave his students at the end of his days. And now we are about to begin the advice, the last conversation that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had with his students. Who is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? So, whenever we discuss Jewish history, we have to position ourselves, and we have some markers that help us. We can begin with creation, 5,770 years ago, right? Today? Yeah? 5,770 years ago. The year is going to change, but that was the day Adam was created on, right? So creation started today, technically. 5,770 years ago is creation. We have 10 generations till the flood, 10 generations from Adam to Noach till the flood, 10 generations from Noach to Abraham, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, three patriarchs, 12 tribes, and then we go down to Egypt. Avram has the vision that his children will be in exile for 400 years, right? And when we leave Egypt, it is 2448. Avram has that vision at 1948, right? 2448, we leave Egypt, we're in the desert for 40 years. 2488, we enter the land of Israel under Yoshua. We're in Israel under Yoshua, we have Yoshua, we have the Shoftim, the judges, and tonight, I hope later in our class in Yoshua, we'll be able to discuss the dates a little bit. We zoom forward. First temple, destruction. Second temple. 100 years before the destruction of the second temple, we have Hillel. So when we speak in Mishnayos and Gemara, it's always good to know. Hillel is the rabbi who led the Jewish people 100 years before the destruction of the temple. Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. Those were the four leaders before the destruction of the second temple. Now, at some point, that dynasty had a problem. There was a sever. There was no adult available to lead the Jewish people towards the destruction of the temple. And when Hillel is lying on his deathbed, he gathers his students. His greatest student is Yonasan ben Uziel, who compiled the translation of Nevi'im, Yonasan ben Uziel, and the Talmud says about him, when he learned Torah, birds flying over his head would get burnt from holiness. And his smallest disciple was Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, sometimes referred to in the Mishnah simply as ben Zakkai. His father's name was not Zakkai. Zakkai means of merit. He was once a student sitting in the court, and they were about to implicate someone, and he said, "Could I ask a question?" So he asked the witnesses, "Could you tell me, do you remember the figs that were hanging on the tree next to the crime scene? What color were they?" This witness said this, and that witness said that. And if they both have said, "I don't know," that would have been okay. But the second they contradict one another, even on a small point like that, their testimony is disqualified. And they did contradict one another. And with that question, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saved the defendant's life. There was a contradiction. He found the contradiction. So ever since that day, he got the nickname Ben Zakkai, son of merit. He wasn't yet a rabbi. He wasn't yet fitting to have the title rabbi. So he was known as Ben Zakkai. In that Mishnah, he's quoted as Ben Zakkai. Now, although Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the smallest student of Hillel's, when Hillel was lying on his deathbed, he asked to have the students brought, and he wasn't there, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Hillel asked, "Is everyone present?" They said, "Yeah." Hillel said, "Is everyone present?" They said, "Well, the little one isn't here." So Hillel said, "Well, you make sure that little one is here, because he's still going to lead the Jewish people." And that's what happened. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as God would have it, he ended up leading the Jewish people during the period of the destruction. When the city was in siege, and it seemed as there would be no future for the Jewish people, he's the one who faked death. They took his body out, and he went to the Roman emperor and spoke to him and managed to salvage the rabbis, managed to salvage the leaders, managed to salvage something from what was the imminent destruction that was just days away. Jerusalem was already under siege. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he led us 100 years before the destruction. He was around. He was a very old man at the time of the destruction. And then he led us after the destruction. And he made institutions that hold us till today. We shake lulav 7 days. Technically, the Torah says lulav and esrog are taken 1 day, and on the Temple Mount, 7 days. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says we commemorate the temple all over the world. We take lulav and esrog 7 days. That's one of his institutions. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was not put down by the moment. He is one of the champions of Jewish history. A man who was able to see the destruction coming, prepare for it, and stand by his people. Thanks to him we have the oral law, and thanks to him we are what we are today. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai kept questioning himself. Although in hindsight we look and say, look, he saved. He's the one that saved something. Thanks to him some of the Jews were saved, and the tradition was saved, and he made the institutions that helped the Jewish people strong through their exile. I mean, think about it. Since the destruction of the Second Temple, we've been in exile ever since. So he's one of the great leaders who really held us through. And now the Talmud is taking us to his last moments. We're zooming in. Uchshechala Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is ill, lying on his deathbed. In Talmud, we always have to notice every word. The word holy, what does holy mean? What'd you say? Sick. What does mechush mean? What does ke'ev mean? So we have to know there are levels of illness. The Talmud says, chash b'rosho, a person, his head hurts him, yasof b'torah, should deal in Torah. So maybe we should go to the intensive care unit and tell them all, you know, you should deal in Torah, you'll feel much better. So if we know how to understand Talmud terminology, we know that that's not what it was saying. The Talmud has levels of pain. There's mechush, there's choli, there's ke'ev. Ke'ev is an ache, like a toothache, a headache. Mechush is a slight illness. If a person has a slight illness in his head, he's slightly, he's got maybe a slight headache. He has a slight headache, so then we say, for that, learn Torah. If a person's got 104 fever, we say, for that, stay in bed. So, Kshechala Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai became ill, so this is where he's seriously ill, this is Choli, Nichnesu Talmidav Levakero. His students entered. What does Levaker mean? What does Bikur Cholim? Ah! He's on the ball. Levaker, we already discussed, is to see what's missing. Bikur is to discern, like Boker. You remember we discussed Boker is when the sun comes up, I can discern, I can see the difference between things. Levaker means to discern, to see what he needs. Kevan shera'a otam, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw his students, hetchil livkot, he started weeping. So he's weeping, and his students see him on his deathbed weeping. They assume he's weeping like anyone else would weep when they're on the verge of dying. Amrulo, so they said to him, Rabbeinu, our teacher, Ner Yisrael, the lamp of Israel. What is Ner? Ner is a lamp. Ner isn't a candle. In modern Hebrew, Ner is a candle. In Talmud, Ner is always an oil lamp. But I meant something else. First of all, you have to know that. For all Shas. Every time you see Ner, Ner is not a candle. A candle is hardly referred to in the Shas, and when it's referred to, it has its own terminology. It's called... Let's leave it. It's called after the people who used to fashion it. They were called Berona. But that's not for us tonight. Ner in Talmud, whenever you encounter it, is an oil lamp. So they turn to him and they say, Ner, the lamp of Israel. What is a lamp? That's not what I was referring to. What does it say? Ki ner blank v'tora or. Ner mitzvah v'tora or. Right? Gashmoir pasuk in Mishlei, kinel mitzvah v'torah or. The mitzvah is compared to a lamp. It has a steady light. The Torah is like its own illumination, its own light. So they turn to him and they say, Ner Yisrael, the lamp of Israel. Amud Aymini, you're the one who is our right pillar, our pillar of strength. Patish HaChazak, the powerful anvil, the powerful hammer. Mipenei ma ata boche, you who have been our strength in Torah, our strength in actions, our strength in spirit, why are you crying after a life like you've led? You should be happy. You're headed to a much better place. Amar lahim. So he said to them, Ilu lifnei melech basav adam hayu molechin oti. If they would bring me before a king of flesh and blood, Shayom kanu machar bakever. Today he's here, tomorrow he could be buried. Shin kas alai, if he angers at me, en kaso kas olam, his anger is not eternal. Ve'imo sirani, and if he binds me, en isuro isur olam, his binding isn't eternal. Ve'imemitani, and even if he kills me, en mitato mitat olam, his death is not eternal. Ve'ani achol lefaiso bedvarim, and I could try to convince him. I could try to talk to him. I could try to persuade him. Ve'leshochdo b'mamon, or to bribe him with money. Ve'aval piken hayiti boche, and even so, I'd be crying. If I'd be led before the gallows, before a king of flesh and blood, in spite of all his limitations, I'd be crying. Ve'achshav shemolichin oti lifnei melech malchei hamlachim hakadosh baruch hu, and now that they're leading me before the King of Kings, Hashem, shu chai ve'kayam, lo'olam u'lo'olmei olamim, that he is existent, he is living for the worlds and worlds to come. He's always around. Shein koes alai, if he angers at me, kaso kas olam, his anger is eternal. V'im yesrani, and if he binds me, yisuro yisur olam, his binding is eternal. V'im emitani, and if he kills me, mitato mitat olam, his death is eternal. V'en ani achol lefaiso bedvarim u'leshochdo b'mamon. And I can't appease him with words or bribes. Lo od, and not only that. He's about to go on to the second point. Point number one, this isn't a human being. I'd be scared stiff if I were going before a human king. They say that when Magra was lying on his deathbed, he was weeping. So the students asked him, why are you weeping? So he picked up his tzitzis and he said, how many shekels does it cost to get a pair of tzitzis in this world? For a few shekels, I'm performing a mitzvah all day, every day. How much does it cost? Mitzvahs today abound. They're easy to come by. The world to come, that's it. But whatever I've taken with me, that's what I have. I can't move forward in the world to come. Now I'm crying, the Gra said. Now I'm losing the opportunities. In this world, the world is replete with opportunities. Just look around. Every second, you have opportunities to do. Think about it. You wear tzitzis. It's a biblical mitzvah every minute of the day that you're wearing it. You guys are here learning Torah. How many mitzvahs do you think you get that you're learning here tonight? Every word of Torah is its own mitzvah. Every word. Can you count that? I'll prove it to you halachically. We say if you're busy doing one mitzvah, you don't stop one mitzvah to go do another mitzvah, right? Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. If I'm busy doing one mitzvah, I don't have to stop what I'm doing to go do another mitzvah. There'd be no end. Torah says, you're busy doing one, finish that, and then if you have time, it makes sense, you go on to the other. Torah isn't that way. You're learning Torah, and there comes a mitzvah that no one else could do. If you don't do it, we say, you got to stop what you're doing and go do that mitzvah. Why don't we apply the same logic? Say, osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. I'm busy with one mitzvah. What do I got to go do another mitzvah? So it says in halacha, the reason is because you're never busy with the mitzvah of Torah. Every minute you're doing another mitzvah. You're always starting afresh. Because every word is another mitzvah. So every word you're learning, every word you're saying is another mitzvah. You could never say, I'm busy with this mitzvah, so don't bother me with another mitzvah. So, how many mitzvahs? The world's, it's easy, you know? The mitzvahs are easy to come by. The Gra, when he was lying on his deathbed, the Gaon from Vilna, he was weeping. That's what he was thinking about. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, back to our Gemara, the first point he says is, yeah, till now I've done my best, but now I'm going to be taken to judgment. And who knows? And that's the next point. Ve'lo od, not only that, אלא שיש לפניי שני דרכים. We're two lines from the bottom. I see two paths before me. אחד של גיהנום, one that goes to perdition, ואחד של גן עדן, and one to the Garden of Eden. ואיני יודע באיזה מהן מוליכין אותי. And I don't know which one they're taking me down. I don't know. ולא אבכן, I shouldn't weep. We're talking about one of the giants in all of world history, in all of Jewish history. The man, thanks to him, we're still here studying Talmud. And saved people's lives, saved the Jewish people. But when he's lying on his deathbed, he says, I don't know if I'm going up or I'm going down. That's Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's his modesty.
Modesty?
Or what? I'm with you.
Or we don't know where we're going.
What do you mean? So that's a good question. What you said happens to be the Mabit says what you said, that every person is gauged based on their own potential. That's an important point. Unfortunately, we won't get to deal with it today. We have to get back to that point. And unfortunately, next week is Rosh Hashanah Sunday. So the next time we get back here is 2 weeks from now. So if I forget, remind me. We have to get back to that point. Yeah. Did you see the Marsha here?
No.
So look at the Marsha. He asks your question. Ah, you can understand it. Look at the Marsha. Second wide line. I want to just try and finish this section, and next time we'll try to go in depth.
The Marsha's on the right column?
Look at the top right. What does it say? Marsha. Now go down, second wide line. Okay. Huh?
Yeah, that's
an acronym. Remind me next time. We'll discuss a little bit about who the Marsha was. Amru lo Rabbeinu Barchenu. They said to him, Rabbi, please bless us. Amar lehem, he said to them, Yehi ratzon, may it be the will above, sheyehei mora shamayim alechem kemora basar vadam. That you fear heaven as much as you fear flesh and blood. That's his blessing. Amru lo talmidav, ad kan. His students say, that's it. You're blessing us. Your last blessing is we should fear God as much as we fear our fellow men. Amar lehem ulvai. He said, I wish. Teidu, I'll prove it to you. Kshadam over avera. When a person transgresses, Omer, he says to himself, Shelo yirani adam. Let me do it where no one can see. The person is doing something improper. He's looking at things that are improper. First thing that he does is no one else should see. What about God? So he says, you see, we're all more concerned about our fellow man than God. So when I bless you, you should be as fearful of God as of your fellow man. I wish you'd get that far. Bishat p'tirato, when he was passing, Amar lehem, he said to them, Panu kelim mipnei atuma. Remove the vessels, because it's a pity they should all get defiled as I pass away. And prepare a cheer for the king Chizkiyahu, who is coming to accompany me. So he knows Chizkiyahu is coming to accompany him. On the other hand, he thinks all kinds of things about himself. So one understanding is that even though he did all these acts of modesty, he knew he was heading up. And that's why he didn't want them to start talking and saying, well, maybe he didn't live up to his potential. Maybe he knew why he was worried about where he was headed. We don't know what he did in his own private quarters. Maybe. So he wanted to remove doubt on the one hand. Firstly, he wanted to teach them modesty. Secondly, he wanted to remove doubt. He didn't want to leave the world and people will start talking. You know, who knows? So he shared with them that he knew who was coming to accompany him up. It was Chizkiyo, the king of Judah. And Bezrat Hashem, next time we'll have to discuss why him, etc. I want us to notice a few points. He says he doesn't know where he's going. Ask the average person, where are you going? We all know. We're coming towards Rosh Hashanah and we think we got a whole list of things we could tell God. Look at what I did this year. I came to Machon Meir. That was easy. I put up with A, B, C, and D. That couldn't have been easy. And I'm 10 times ahead of where I was last year. So it's good to have a shot in the arm. We're not going to put everyone down. At the same time, we have to know that all the greats, they never had self-confidence. They always knew, as Ephraim correctly pointed out, I'm not gauged based upon my accomplishments. I'm gauged my accomplishments compared to my potential. And with that type of gauging, well, all the greats were always scared, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was scared. Who knows if they've come anywhere near their potential. The next point to think about, they asked for a blessing, and he spoke to them about being God-fearing people. Is that a blessing? Isn't that between them and God? And how do blessings in that realm work? Because isn't that where we have to work on ourselves? What does it mean? Does God interfere in that? Isn't that the area which God does not interfere? What type of God-fearing person I'll be? And then the whole point of defiling, that's what he's thinking about the vessels. So on a simple level, yes, the righteous care for even the smallest amount. We learned a year ago, there's a Gemara that describes one of the rabbis who was extremely frugal. He was careful to the last drop. And when he was lying on his deathbed, he said, I have a teaspoon full of spice that I didn't finish using in the cupboard. So he said, yeah, that was their level. When you're on such a level where you're so careful not to take something that doesn't belong to you, and every penny that a person makes is honest, and he recognizes that every penny he's given in this world is for a certain purpose, how he serves his Creator, so then he could think, I didn't have to work so hard to make that teaspoonful of spice, because obviously I wasn't meant to live around to use it. So I should have been more careful in how I exert my energies. We can't live on that level. We have to have life insurance and medical insurance. We're not them. But on the simple level, that's what he's saying. On a deeper level, we'll have to discuss the concept of Tuma and Chizkiyahu. But for today, we have to go upstairs. But I think, you know, Rosh Hashanah is 5 days away. So we have to start thinking how we apply all of this to ourselves. You know, we're going before the courts. If Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was describing his ascent before the courts and his worries, one of the things that always strikes me is how we approach Hashanah and we have to work on ourselves to make believe. Maybe we have to think a little bit more and then recognize the truth and what's really happening. Bezrat Hashem, Friday night. So, time for Alvit.